Peace of God be with you. It is my pleasure to be with you this morning. And I say thank you to the Lord who make it possible for me to be here with you this morning. And I really thank Gary and his wife Leanne. These are special people. And they love Haiti very much. You cannot imagine how they are working very, very hard with the students in electricity. Gary work hard, sometimes beyond their capacity. They work very hard, and they are with the students in the sewing class. And before, we didn't have so many sewing machines, and she provide that. And these people, they don't just come, but they provide the materials as well. And when I say, I would like to come and visit, and they said, well, please come. And they didn't think about anything else. They invited me to come, and now to see them show so much love going to all those places with me. This is amazing. This goes beyond why I expected. Let's appreciate those people with me. Help me appreciate them. They are very special. I love you very much. And let me extend my word of thank you to Larry and the Larry family. And they welcomed me to the house. And then I passed one night with them. It was an excellent a night with, I eat different kind of food, and they teach me how to play ping pong. By the way, I learned the first day, and Larry beat me up, but I was about to beat Gary. not really, it was 9 and I was like 4. Thank you very much. Let's help me appreciate you. But finally, Larry, thank you very much. And another person I would like to thank very much is Pastor Greg. And because when Gary and Leanne talked to him, and he agreed to have me speak this morning, which is very unusual, because there are times pastors, they don't want to let the guests speak, especially if it is someone he doesn't know about, someone from Haiti. And he said, oh, yes, welcome. And I had dinner with him, and he's an humble man. And I really appreciate that, a man of God. I know him for the first time. He's very much like I know him for a long time, because he welcomed me. And I can tell that you have an excellent pastor. So help me say thank you to the pastor as well. And I would like to appreciate you all, to thank you all for coming to listen to me this morning. Really, Gary already said everything about who I am and what I am doing. This morning, I would like to talk with you, to share with you some of the word the Lord put in my heart from Luke chapter 10. If you have your Bible, turn them to Luke chapter 10. And we will consider verses 25 to 37. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. And I have NIV, but you can read to any version you may have. The title said, Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus, saying, Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? Jesus replied, how do you read it? He answered, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied in verse 30, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by the other side. So a Levite, in verse 32, when he came to the place and saw him pass by on the other side. But the Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he looked pity on him. He went to him and bandaged the wound, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was his neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. This morning, I would like to talk with you about love. And the main subject of it is that how do we show love to God and to others? How do we show love to God and to others? I would like to begin by saying that love is among the words people use the most. There are some words I would talk about this morning. People wouldn't even know the meaning because they never use it, but not the word love. Because people use that all the time. People describe so many things they love. And they say, some husbands here say that word to their wife every day on a regular basis after talking to phone. They end up saying, I love you. And we say we love God, we love the church, we love the pastor. The pastor say, I love the members of the church. And we use that very much. But the question is, how do we love? Do we really love? Don't we use that sometimes just like a password? Because you want to enter into your telephone, there is a password. And you will just enter the password and you get into things you want as a password. And sometimes this is the way you use the word love for so many things we are doing. Sometimes husbands use the word, again, love as a password. And sometimes they know women love the word love, and they say, I love you. Oh, you love me. Oh, then welcome to this and that. And this is nothing other than a password. In the text we read, We read about some people in the text who were leaders in the church. People who preach about love. People who are responsible to express love to people in the text. And they are known. This is supposed to be their reputation. And those people, they know the word, everything about it. And in the text, you will see how they behave. Yeah. Therefore, in verse 25, they said, in one occasion, an expert in the law, stood up to test Jesus. I don't know what version you are using. In my version, NIV, they said an expert in the law. In some other versions, they don't say an expert in the law, but they say a scribe. A scribe. The word scribe, that word from Greek is grammateis. And grammateis, and from our language that would relate to the word grammar, they are the people who write rules. They know the rules. They know the principles. In fact, they are the one who make them. The scribes. They know the Old Testament very much. And therefore, I like what is being said in the text when he said they want to test Jesus. That gives the impression that they already know the answers. But they say, well, I know there is someone here, there is someone around by the name of Jesus who claimed to be a rabbi, who claimed to be God. Now let me test him. That is a powerful man, a really powerful man with knowledge, with a lot of capacity. In fact, according to Dr. Bill Cooper, he said in order for someone to become a scribe, you need to know the five first books of the Bible. Everything about them. The books of Moses. Everything about them, from the beginning to the end. And now the man said to Jesus, okay, now I will test you. I want to inherit eternal life. So now, what should I do? What must I do? And Jesus said, oh, you are a scribe. And you ask me that question? How come you ask that question? And now you want to test me? Now I will embarrass you. Jesus really didn't want to say I will embarrass him in a sense to put him to shame. But it is now something about knowledge. Now, what does the law say? This is a great question for Jesus to ask him. Now, I said embarrassed because that man cannot say I don't know. He asked a question, now Jesus said, he cannot say I don't know. Because if he say I don't know, and oh, you are a scribe, a man like you, you say you don't know, and now he has only one option. And what is it? To tell what the law says. And he said it. He said it. And he said it very clear. And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, with all your mind. What is left? Nothing is left. That is to love with everything about you. Everything about who you are, you need to express love with it. And now, to go back to the question, what do you want to do to have eternal life? Just do what you say. Nothing more. That's finished. The conversation is complete. Now they said, oh, is it that simple? In the text, the man wanted to justify himself. And he asked Jesus another question. And that other question is, Who is my neighbor? Again. You never know. You don't know who is your neighbor. And now Jesus tell him a story. I cannot imagine you ask that again. That, and you are a rabbi, then you never express love. That very question put that man, I don't want to say a risk, but that very same question asking, who is my neighbor? You are a scribe, and you don't even know who is your neighbor. Are you correct? Is that true? He didn't know his neighbor. What? And Jesus tell his story. When he said a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. Let me tell you that in 2014, I went to Israel as part of my study, because I am doing, I am part of it in a deaning program at NIAC, Alliance Theological Seminary. As part of that study, I suppose to go to Israel, and I went. And one of the places I visited was Jericho. And the guide said to us, do you know where you are now? And we said, you are the guide. You tell us, we don't know. And he said, now you are at Jericho. And he said, this place, there are a lot of robbers. And this place, the people are expert in stealing. They can do that so well that they can take anything from you and you don't even see without your notice. Therefore, you need to make sure that you keep your pocket just like that. And therefore, when I was at Jericho, I make sure that I keep my wallet, and as I walk, I make sure that I keep my everything just like that. At Jericho. And I don't want to go to all those experiences at Jericho, because those people at Jericho, when you go there, and when they see you hold everything just like that, they cannot take much from you. And they said, you know, they said to me, one of them said to me, I give you this. And you know, and because there are so many things, and you are tourists, there are things you want. And here, a man said, I give you this. And I said, thank you. And I took it. And you know, and that man who gave that to me, and sit down, and I was doing all the things. And as I was ready to go, and he said, you will not pay for this. You need to pay. And you know, that person gets some money from me anyway. As I couldn't give it back, he said, you pay. How much? I will not tell you the price, because it will be a lot more money. And that is Jericho. And the text said, a scribe come to pass. A scribe. A priest. Again, these are the people in the temple. And the priest, again, from Jerusalem, going to Jericho, just passed by. After that, a Levite from Jericho, from Jerusalem, also passed by. They didn't do anything. Now, the text doesn't say that, what I'm going to tell you right now. It doesn't say it. But I believe what I'm going to say is the case. The man, they were, where did he come from? From Jerusalem. The priest, Again, where did the priests come from? Jerusalem. The Levites from Jerusalem. And all of them had to pass through Jericho. And this is what I suspect. They come from the same worship service. I don't know. That just comes from my mind. If that man from Jerusalem, the priest, the Levite, maybe they come from the same worship service. And, as the worship service finished, and, the priest, the Levite, they were busy talking to some other people, but the members of the church, they leave first. And they get robbed. This is one thing I try to think about the text. They just come from worship the Lord together. And as they pass, they see that very man. And they couldn't do anything because the Lord say no. The Lord say you cannot do that. And if you read Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5, you will see what they say is lawful. No, this is about the scribe. Leviticus, sorry, chapter 21st, verse 10 to 12. You will see that they shouldn't touch the dead body. And in this passage, Jesus described someone else, a Samaritan. Not the priest, not the Levite, but a Samaritan. And when he saw that man, and I just read the text, and you see that man spent a lot of money. Now, you may say, no, it's not really a lot of money, because he needs two silver coins. But that is way back. That is a lot of money. But for today, things go, it's not like what you would consider like two silver. So now that's very small amount of money. And I don't know how things are in America, but in Haiti, there are things my mother said they used to buy for like one good. Today, to buy them, you will need like 50 goods to buy them. But if my mother say that, maybe my grandmother would buy that for like 2 cents. Okay. So this passage, Jesus explained that and asked the man, who is the neighbor of that man? And he said, the man who helped him. And he said, okay, this is what you do. In this passage, Jesus wants you to love your neighbor. The question is, who is your neighbor? In the context of this passage, your neighbor may not be the one living next door. It may not be. It may not be a family member. It may not be a close friend, but someone that need your help. This passage really catch my attention, and I feel like my heart is moving towards those who needs and see how I can make a difference in their life. Most of the time, we say that we love others. Again, but we don't. We don't. We just say the word. We preach. But when it's come to do the actual action, we pass by, we forget everything about it. In this story, the parable I just read, every single Jew, I believe, there might be some exception, but the general rule would be that every Jew who heard Jesus tell the parable would say that the priest and the Levite did nothing but observe the Torah. That would mean that those people, they did nothing wrong. Because this is the rule, this is the principle. They shouldn't touch the blood. Nothing wrong. But most of us modern Christians who hear or who read the parable, you would say, of course they did something wrong. We will certainly say they did something wrong. But what we sometimes forget is that sometimes, if not most of the time, we do exactly what the priest and the Levite did. We criticize them because they didn't do it right. We criticize them because they didn't show love to the man. But most of the time, we go on the street and we do exactly the same thing. We just pass by. We pass by. We forget about it. We forget about it. Because there are times when we're supposed to do something, we say we don't do this. Because it is against the principle. It is against the law to do this. And as you are in the same culture, you think the same way. And other Christians, you say, what's wrong about it? Because this is the way we live. This is the reality. And again, like I said, in the context of the text, the Jews didn't see anything wrong for the priests and the Levites. Someone else may do something. Someone else. And this is also true in my culture. There are many things Christians in Haiti don't do. And when you ask them why you don't do that, they say it is against the law. Is it good? Yeah. But is it against the law? Of course. Therefore, I don't want to take the risk. Let me take the very same passage to the Asian culture. I don't know your culture very much. So I don't have a lot to say about it. But let me say to the Asian culture. If that man, like let's say I live in Cape Asian, in the Cape Asian area, and there are some places that can be considered like Jericho, like Namapu or something. You don't know what I'm talking about. I just said. And pastors may pass by and see a man laying down, a servant, leaders may pass by and they may do nothing. Do you know why? Because in Haiti, if someone is, half dead, and everyone pass and they do nothing, but if they see someone doing something or stand by that person, you will be the first one to be accused of doing the action. They say, so what happened to that person? And now you are the one who will answer all the questions. Because they see you with that person. Tell me about it. What was the problem? And now you have to stop all your activities to go in court to answer questions. They may even say that you are the one who do the action. As a result, people say, I don't want to take that risk. I don't want to take that risk. I have to do my own activities. Therefore, people have problem and people pass just like that. Because they don't want to take all the risk. This is the way we do things today. They want to escape. Sometimes people say, well, I wanted to help, but I cannot because I'm so busy. I would like to, but I have to go quickly. And in this parable, we see that love requires us to take risks. to take a lot of risk to do that. And even this, in the text, who did that? It was a Samaritan. Do it for which person? For a Jew. And I will not take time to explain all that. But you are not without knowledge that there is nothing between a Jew and a Samaritan. Now for a Samaritan to do something for a Jew, that's a lot of risk. And that man, because of love, he take the risk of doing something anyway. And this is what we are to do if we are to practice the love from the Lord. Jesus came to put love above cultures. From that story, I learned that when you love, there are consequences that you will pay. You might be impure. You might be arrested. You might be misunderstood, even die, but love anyway. Because we are called to love. When we love, we are exposed to all kinds of suffering, but we have to love anyway, because it is what Jesus asked us to do. And we have to prove that we love others. We show that we love others when we share the good news with them, so that they will also escape from the blazing fire. We show love when we care about those who are helpless. They need it without paying attention to the consequences. For we are Jesus' disciples. And Jesus said, they will know you are my disciples if you love one another. If we don't do not cultivate love, we cannot say that we are Christian, because it is a mark of Christian. And I would like you to know, to remind you, my brothers and sisters, we need to give love where love is needed. The people we should love the most are more likely the people we reject the most. Sometimes we forget as to who to love. We need to give love to people who need it. Sometimes we only love the people who love us. Sometimes we only love the good people. Love has a sense only when we give it to people who need it in the appropriate time. Most men, I'm talking to you men, most men only tell their wife they love them when they do something great. And this is also true for women as well. You do something great. I love you. I love you very much. You know, that the person already does something great. This is the time of joy. You know, it's always, yeah, it's good when people do something great. Yeah, I love you. But when the person make a mistake and you say I love you, which one is deeper? And this is when love is needed, when the person get despair, when your wife is down. Your wife is down. She doesn't know what to do. And it's very much like what she did in the house. Look bad. And now you, the husband, supposed to come and be angry. And sometimes the wife knows the husband is coming, and she expects that you will be angry. And by the time you come, you say, honey, forget about these things. I love you anyway. And you know what? And she will accept that. Say, what a husband I have. And now she can sing, what a husband I have in Jesus. what? A wife for your Jesus. Huh? Because even when you are down, you make the mistake, you look like nothing. And the person come to you and say, come, my love. I love you. And this is what Jesus does for us. As sinners, we are nothing. We are from dust. And Jesus said, you are my son. Come, my son. I love you. And this is what we are called to do. In Haiti, there are some places in Haiti, pastors, they don't want to go in those places. They want to stay in places where people love them, in cities. In some places, people don't want to go because they want to love people who love them. People can do something for them. People can make a difference in their life. This is the way. And people, sometimes the people you expect to receive love from, they do nothing. Sometimes there are some people in the communities, they see a pastor coming, they see a Christian passing by, they laugh, they smile, believing that the difference will happen, but nothing happened. And as I am convinced by the truth of the gospel, saying that love has something about sacrifice, and it is people who have nothing to love. And this is really, and God just talked about new life. This is really why we begin that ministry. It was mostly after the earthquake. As we saw, the people, you know, get desperate and nothing they could do of very less. And we come with new life. And those people, they come to participate, to make a difference in the life of the people. We show love. There are times when we help people who cannot do anything. And we give them hand to move on. And this is when they accept Jesus from us. Because they will know you are Christian if you love one another. To finish, there was a young man who came to our school, New Life Technical School, in agriculture. And the man said to us, I come from a very poor family. And I know you have this school, New Life Technical School, but I cannot pay. And, you know, I'm not in the office because I have other activities I'm doing. And that man couldn't see me. And when they went to the secretary said, oh, you have to register, you need to pay. He said, I don't have anything. And he said, the only person that could help you is the pastor. And I was not available. One time he came in, he stayed in the office all day because he wanted to see me. And I had to come all the way to 5 o'clock. And when he saw me, he said, I don't have the money, but I want to study. And I said, oh, you paid the registration. He said, no, I don't even have that money. But I want to study agriculture. And I said, wow, what should I do? And as I remember my mission, why I come up with New Life, I said, okay, you are registered. And I give him the date and all that. I give him the application and that. And the philosophy of New Life is more likely to help people to give them something, and so that they will go out and create something. And that man come to the school, and I encourage them to study. The agriculture department is for like 2 years. By the time he get to 5 months in this school, he go ahead and create his, not just his own garden, but he has like a ministry, planting trees and sell in different places in the occupation area. And by the 6 months, he was able to pay the school. And by now, that man has give job to like 10 people. And each time that man come, say, thank you, Pastor Luke. And I said, no, don't say thank you to me. Say thank you to God. Because it is God who gave me that ministry. And that man today is not just a Christian, but a big difference in his life. And in that community, there are places with voodoo. People will worship, you know, idols and things like that. There are places we go to play church. Like, you know, Laurie, it's a place, pastor doesn't go to those places. But we went with the power of the gospel, with love. We show them love. And if you go to that community today, you will see love change. God will only change people with the power of love. And for God to do that, he wants to use me. He wants to use you. He can't. He doesn't do it without us. And nothing will happen if we don't use love. If we don't love people as we're supposed to love them, regardless of their ways. Thank you. May God bless you this morning. Thank you.